You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, this is Nomar Slevic, host of the I Want to Believe podcast, and you're listening to the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and today I have the second part of my conversation with Toni Shapiro. She shares yet another chilling story that she submitted to me, and it's always my pleasure talking with Toni, and she's going to be on later on in the year. But before we get into that conversation, I want to give a shout out to my distribution network that puts out my podcast every week, every 2 weeks. And I couldn't do it without them. First of all, I want to thank Spreaker Distribution. They helped me out quite a bit. So thank you, Spreaker. Also, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Audible, YouTube, CastBox, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Jio 7. Also, if you go to my website, www.authoralcooley.com, you can link to the Apple Podcast, to the Spotify, and to Spreaker. And also, you can pick up my book, which is available right now with the links at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the bookshop. Spencer's Ghost, my first novel, will be out on October 1st, and you can pre-order right now on my website, and it will give you the links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookshop. I'm also excited to announce that I have been invited to the Ghost Walk in my hometown of Warren, Ohio, and their Ghost Walk, which they have annually, which is sponsored by the Fine Arts Council of Trumbull County, and it is the Warren, Ohio Ghost Walk. The event takes place on October 12th, the 13th, 18th, and 19th. I will be there signing copies of my book and talking about a few stories out of the novel. Then I'll be at the Fleetwood Paracon in Brandy Station, Virginia, on October 26th. That Paracon is raising money for the Fleetwood Church. They're renovating that old historic building, and I think that's a great thing they're doing. And you can go to eventbrite.com under the Fleetwood Paracon, the Resurrection, and get your tickets there. If you want to be a vendor or just to get tickets to go, or if you want to speak at the Paracon. Right now is a great time to go there and check out all the info that's available at eventbrite.com. I'll be right back with my conversation with Tony Shapiro, part two.
This is Weird on the Rocks, a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. Join me every other Monday as I share a different cocktail and discuss true crime, paranormal stories, unexplained phenomena, conspiracy theories, and much more. Find Weird on the Rocks on social media, the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com, and listen on all of your favorite podcast apps. And don't forget to cheers and stay weird.
Okay, we're back with part two with my conversation with Tony Shapiro. And before we get started into our conversation, I find it terrifying the amount of encounters you've had with the malevolent spirits over your lifetime, and you're not just counting all the other spirits, let's say the friendly spirits.
Yeah.
But the ones that keep you up at night or work, you lose sleep over. Is this maybe the reason why you have trouble going to sleep?
Well, you know, I don't, thank you for that, by the way, but I don't really have trouble going to sleep. I have trouble staying asleep. And, you know, I have a lot of really bad nightmares in addition to, you know, other eerie feelings when I'm sleeping that seem to wake me up because I feel like somebody's watching me or something. But for me, you know, getting up at midnight or 1 o'clock is very normal now. It's just, it had to normalize for me because I probably wouldn't have survived. And unfortunately, most all my encounters, happen when I'm alone. I mean, as you mentioned, my malevolent ones, both of those, one I was with my mother when I was tiny, as you know, and the other one, I had my dog with me. But other than that, I'm by myself every time this happens, you know, which is not very comforting because I wish somebody could be right there where I could say, did you see that? You know, it never happens that way.
It's usually how it works, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Whenever you have an encounter, it's you're by yourself or somebody didn't see it, or maybe they seen something else, you know, and you didn't see it.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why I haven't went back, it's been suggested to me to take a medium back to the house I grew up in and just to see if it's still there, you know, because the house burnt down. But I feel like when I drive by that area, I get the willies, you know, just driving by there, and I can sense something. I don't know if it's because of the experience I had there, but so why don't you take a medium back there and investigate the area? So, you know, I don't know if I want to go through that again.
I sympathize with that, Al, because when I was little and the first time I had that encounter in Anaheim, California, every time I passed that area, even after the house was condemned and removed, the thing that they left behind was the solid cement porch. And I never could understand that. They didn't tear that down till like the 1980s. And, you know, this happened in 1964. So there was always that constant reminder. And driving by, I always, like you, I got the willies. You know, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I can't wait till they tear that down and just, you know, try to wipe it from my memory. Of course, it never does wipe from our memories, you know, anything that's traumatic like that. But I understand that feeling, yeah. For me, I, you know, it wasn't until, you know, as you know, it wasn't until just only a few years back that I even started speaking publicly about my encounters. So I would have thought back then to have brought a medium. But quite honestly, because there was a child spirit, a child entity involved, I wish today that I could have, you know, hopefully they could help that, you know, poor little darling cross over, you know, rather than being held captive by that malevolent, horrible, horrible entity. You know, as we spoke before, we talked about, you know, it may not necessarily be the house or the building itself, whichever. It could be the land. Who knows? I don't know. But it's long been torn down and probably like yours has been long removed, the debris left over from the fire. But who knows what it's left behind?
The Native Americans, they always say it's the land. You know, it's just the, it's not the structure, it's the land, you know, so that's why the land's so important to them, you know, to, you know, honor the land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to really go back there, but because it's been, I think it's burned down in 2005. So it's been a while since it's been gone, but there's nothing that has been put up in its place since then. Like you know, you go back to that old house of yours, you know, and why did they leave the steps up? I mean, that was a little strange.
Yeah.
And it just brings back memories, you know.
Right. They condemned it in 1970. We moved in 71. They tore it down like between 71 and 72, but left the steps there till like 1980, 80, 85, 86, 87, something like that. So that doesn't make any sense to me. That's an awful long time to leave, you know, a part of a building sitting there. It's not like it was a historic landmark or anything.
You're right.
Was historic to me, but not in a good way.
And then again, you know, we're both talking about the same time period in the 60s.
Yeah.
I spoke at a conference recently, and I had a young person ask me, why didn't you just go on to Google and just check this stuff? I said, back in the 60s, there was no internet. So there's no Google, there's no YouTube. I mean, and who do you go to talk to? People around you don't believe you, and my parents don't believe me. So who do you go talk to? The only thing I could go to was the library and look up stuff in the encyclopedias.
Mm-hmm.
That was your Google back in the 60s.
And there wasn't much there.
We're so blessed to have the internet, and we have things like these podcasts and groups you can go onto on Facebook. And I mean, there's thousands out there that you can tell somebody with a similar situation can relate to you. And that's why I love this show, because I have not only just on Bigfoot or UFOs, but everything that's paranormal. And you have somebody that you can talk to without being a nut, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like therapy.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's therapeutic and it's refreshing, you know, to be able to speak out and without having this hindrance that you've got to, you know, watch out what you say because people think you're nuts or something, like you said, you know. So, yeah, it's quite comforting.
Yeah, we're like the bar with the bartender you go to.
Yeah.
Spill your, or your hairdresser, you know, spill your problems too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our therapist.
Right. Well, you sent me a recent article on, it was titled My Paranormal Pandemic. Let's go into that. What was that all about?
Okay, yeah, sure. That one is less terrifying, actually. Still very, very unsettling. And of course, I get such an eerie feeling from it, but it's not anything like my first encounter in 64 or the beating I took from a very, very awful entity. This was my husband had retired. We were living in Temecula, California, beautiful, you know, it's wine country. You've got all these wonderful family. It's family orientated mostly, you know, so you've got houses that are all pretty built up, like two stories, and they're huge and, you know, family orientated. But with his retirement, you know, we kind of wanted to just move to something else that was a little more retiree friendly in a sense. So we shopped around the desert in California in the Palm Springs area and settled for a home in Rancho Mirage. The only thing was that the house, it was wonderful. I mean, it was beautiful. The neighbors were wonderful and everything, but the house was, the community was across from a cemetery. Might not have been the greatest idea, but cemeteries don't bother me. As a matter of fact, I go to them quite often and take pictures of certain headstones for articles that I write. But they've never bothered me. The only thing is then the pandemic happened, and this was, you know, it's beginning of the pandemic in 2020, you know, just horrible. You've got so many people that are going through so much heartache, you know, they can't be with their families and so forth, you know, during their last moments on earth. And we had funerals going back to back, you know, at that cemetery. When I drive, you know, out of our community, you know, I could see all these tent, you know, like structures being raised around the cemetery, you know, getting ready for a funeral. And it was really, really sad. It was just heartbreaking, devastating to see. And you would have these, you know, funerals conducted without any family members or friends or anybody. They would just bury them and then it would be done. Well, I was sitting at my computer, and, you know, my husband and I were fortunately not affected by the pandemic, other than, you know, the emptiness of not having, you know, a chance to meet friends and see friends and family and so forth. But other than that, we weren't affected, thank goodness. But I was sitting at my computer. I hadn't turned it on yet, so I'm looking at a black screen. It's in one of those built-in kitchen desks, you know, how they have the built-in desks in your kitchen or wherever it is in your house, but it's built in. The house came with it. So I'm just sitting there. My back is to the hallway, living room, hallway, you know, all the rooms behind me. And I'm just, you know, getting ready to turn my computer on. And I see this shadow. It looked to me like it was my husband. I thought it was my husband's silhouette. It was his height. I mean, it just looked exactly like him. But this is at, you know, about 2:33 in the morning. And I see this, whatever it is, this figure go from my husband's office, which, like I said, was behind me down the hall, to across the way to the bathroom. And, you know, I turned around and I called his name, and there was no answer. But that hallway was dark, although I could see enough from the lighting in that the living room or the kitchen behind me, or next to me, actually, excuse me. And there was enough lighting there because I had some light on.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Literally saw a shadow in the reflection of my dark computer screen. Well, again, as I said, I turned around and I called his name and there was no answer. And I'm telling you, it gave me a shiver just to see it. You know, I got up. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm like carefully walking, like, oh, I'm like, oh, my stomach's tightening up. I'm getting ready for something. I knew wasn't normal. I knew it, but I wanted, you know, confirmation that I wasn't just seeing things or that I, my feelings were evident, you know, they were warranted. So I walked down the hall and I'm carefully looking around and of course nothing. And walked into our master bedroom. My husband is sound asleep. Well, the next day I asked him, of course, if he had gotten up, because I knew he didn't. Because when I turned around, nobody came back out of that bathroom. They just went right through. Like they walked through the house as though, you know, they were just walking through the house. They were strolling through our house. Well, that gave me the willies enough that I went out and bought a laptop so I didn't have to have my face to the, my back to the, that hallway. So I'm sitting on the couch with my laptop and I'm just, you know, plugging away. And I've got, you know, some of the lights on in the house and I, oh my goodness, I'm sitting there and I get this feeling that somebody is watching me. And this is probably about a week later, something like that. I look up and right next to the fireplace was a figure that was probably about 2.5 feet tall. It was a very small figure. I don't know, child. I don't know. Obviously, yeah, a child's height, you know, I guess would be like a 5-year-old. And he was looking right at me, staring right at me. And I'm telling you, I just jumped up and went, oh, Lord, you know, it scared me so bad. That startled me because I could see the silhouette. I mean, not just the silhouette, but I could see a face. I could see portions of his shoulders, or I got to say it's a boy because I, you know, it just felt like it. but shoulders and a little bit of the arms, but and part of the torso, you know, the torso and maybe upper thighs, but the legs and the feet were like shadowed or semi-invisible. Now, this entity looked like it was a hologram in a sense like an X-rayed hologram. It's a difficult thing for me to describe, but I could clearly see him. Well, when I jumped to him, I said, "Oh Lord!" It simply turned around and walked right back into the wall, the fireplace wall. Oh my goodness, I realized I am not safe anywhere. So I closed my laptop and we're running down the hall. Or I just dropped my laptop on the table, I guess. Maybe one or the other. I don't think I was that conscientious about taking care of anything but myself at that point. So I ran down the hall and told my husband, he goes, "Well, come on, get in bed, you know." I mean, meanwhile, let me tell you, my husband has never had one single solitary paranormal encounter of his life. He has never had one. So I'm just grateful that he understands me. Well, he tells me, "Come on, get in bed." And I'm like, "That's impossible." That's impossible. How do you go to bed and go to sleep after right. that? So I just went back into the living room area and I just turned on every light in the house. You know, I mean, it was like the sun. It was so bright. And it was probably 3 days later or something like that. My husband, I had already gone to bed. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I get to bed and I doze off real fast. He wanted to read. So he went into our guest bedroom because he didn't want to turn on one of the nightstand light that would obviously wake me up. And, you know, he knows I need to conserve my sleep as best mm-hmm. I can, you know, and make sure I don't get too much disturbance. Anyway, so he was in the guest bedroom and he left the door open because I can't stand to have my door closed and I can't stand to be fully in the dark and I can't, you know, have all these things that I need to allow me to have some sort of peace at night. Anyway, so he left the hallway light on. So there was enough light coming from the hallway. I was asleep and I'm facing his side of the bed. He, like I said, he fell asleep in the guest bedroom reading. I think I said that, but that's what he did. He fell asleep in the guest bedroom reading and left me alone. So that's another thing I don't like. Don't leave me alone. I felt something. It woke me up. It was just one of those things, you know, I guess being so in tuned with having paranormal encounters, you know, these things can just wake me up out of a dead sleep. I woke up and I opened my eyes and peeking over my husband's side of the bed was that same entity. Like it was standing on the floor and looking over like a child would. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, oh my gosh. I have never spoken to an entity and I don't want to. I just speak out into the void and I just rip the covers off and go, "Okay, it's time to get up." You know, and then I went and woke my husband up, you know, again and said, "Don't do that to me. Don't leave me like that. Reading here, I'll cover my eyes. Anything, don't do that." You know, since that time, I don't recall having any other paranormal encounters in that house, but we moved, you know, a couple of years later. So I can't say what part of the pandemic that started. I would say probably, you know, it was probably at least 6 months into the pandemic, maybe something like that. But still, to me, is the beginning because it lasted 2 years or more. And so then we moved, and then I'll give you some things about what happened since we moved. But if you want, did you want to ask anything?
No, just when you brought up the pandemic, you know, I'm surprised, you know, with being, and I put out there before, you know, anybody with stories about the pandemic, you know, a loved one coming back and visit you or, you know, because they had no closure, you know, you could, you know, they died either in a hospital with medical people around them, but they didn't have their family and family couldn't go see them. Uh-huh. And that had to be a terrible, terrible thing to go through where you had no closure. That person that passed away. So I'm really surprised that I don't have more stories coming my way about that time. And I'm wondering if that was a boy or whoever it was that you seen was from the pandemic, you know, didn't have any closure.
Yeah. It's hard to say. It could have been a child that was buried.
If you ever had experience with a fae, you know, it could be like they're little people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I you know, and you said your husband never experienced anything paranormal.
Never.
I mean, so I tell people out there, you know, some people have, like yourself, you've had multiple experiences. Other people have had, like myself, just, I mean, personally, one. And then there's others who have never had, like your husband, my wife, nothing at all. So,
but I still have them, but the, you know, here I am 64 years old, almost 65, and I still have them. You know, I mentioned to my husband, you know, when the fact that he may have, like your wife too, may have had paranormal encounters and just didn't recognize it.
Yours, you know, was it because you're living near a cemetery?
I don't know.
Is it you that's just like a magnet that attracts these things?
Kind of. That's what I believe it mm-hmm. is. And I believe, too, that you know, since I had seen it, you know, beyond the veil, so some say anyway, beyond the veil of reality for us, you know, it's possible that because of that, my eyes were just opened at such a young age that now these things know it mm-hmm. or, you know, so they're attracted to that. I mean, they're attracted to life, you know, and I don't think it's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on what type of spirit, you know, is attracted to you, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. The thing is, it's like, you know, like during the pandemic, you know, if we think our life was chaos here, you know, the living, can you imagine what their existence was like? You know, I mean, it had to be insane. And spirits they're not bound to time and space like we are. So they can travel anywhere, anytime, whether they follow me or not. I don't know. You know, when I've gone to cemeteries, I've never had a bad feeling. Never.
Yeah. There's people go to cemeteries to read, because that's where they relax. They can read and
that's pretty great.
They right. I've seen them reading there. I've seen them, you know, they're exercise. They walk. They you know, jog.
Right. Right. And you know, interesting. I've been to a lot of cemeteries out here where I'm at now, in Oklahoma, and it does not bother me one bit. What's weird is like, the cemetery that we lived across the street from, I never visited that one. And I honestly don't know why. I'm guessing it's probably because I had that experience. And it's like, oh, I don't want to let them know. Here I am, you know, come on, visit me again. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But, you know, back to, I just feel like what I have is an energy. And I come from a family that all had it.
I think you said your sister had it, right? Your
sister. Yeah, my sister did. My grandmother especially. I had it more than my sister. She never seen anything. She was jerked once. Her ankles were jerked once when we lived in this other house. After we left the house that was torn down, something grabbed and jerked her ankles. It did the same thing to my cousin, too, at the time when we lived there. And that, as far as I know, that was the only paranormal things that she had been through, but there could have been more. She's since passed, so I can't really ask her. But my grandmother was very, very, she had some insight that was pretty incredible. And hers was just, it was all natural. None of us have ever dabbled in any kind of divination practice whatsoever. It's just, I don't want to. mm-hmm. And you know, I got to tell you, we're going to, my husband and I are going to stay a couple of days in a hotel that is notoriously haunted out here sometime in August. And I'm a little nervous about it, but I want to face my fears this time. I'm just tired of it.
Well, not only facing your fears, I think it's a good thing to do that. And since I think, I won't say like you are a magnet, but you know, sometimes spirits, like I always said, spirits pick and choose who they want to go to.
Yeah.
My listeners tired of hearing it when I say it's like fishing, you know, sometimes you catch a lot and sometimes you get nothing.
Yeah.
Same thing, it's like in a paranormal investigation, you know, you can sit there all night, flashlights or your gadgets and everything, whatever you're using, and you don't get not one hit, not nothing, mm-hmm. you know, and then maybe your fifth or sixth time out and then somebody next to you, you still don't get it, you know. So they pick and choose, you know. And
right.
that's my feeling anyway. And maybe you are the one that they can connect with, you know.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, you've maybe you have a little gift there that Sometimes you might think it's a...
Sometimes I feel like it's a curse, yeah.
Your curse, you know, but like the little boy, you know, that you felt so bad for.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool you're going to the haunted hotel. What's your husband think about it?
Oh, it was his idea. Oh. partly anyway. You know, it's one thing to have an encounter with a malevolent entity and another thing to be, you know, just have an unsettling encounter. Two different things completely. Completely. But
is that hotel near you? Is it nearby or is it you got to travel to it?
Oh, we'll have to travel to it. Yeah. It's still in the same state.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll keep you updated on it. It's interesting because we made the reservations and that night I went to sleep and already had a dream about this place. I'm like, how is that possible? I didn't watch anything. Nothing. I knew about it. And I have always wanted to go there, took pictures, we went there actually yesterday and took a bunch of pictures, but I had a dream and I'll be sharing that as well because I'm writing it up. I'm just doing a whole diary of my whatever happens there.
I still say you should write a book. I mean, because your experiences are so incredible, you know, to share your stories with others that can relate. I think it's important. You know, like my story, I'm coming out, you know, it's people think it might be a little crazy, but it was my story from 4 years in 1967 to 1971. And then the story will pick back up in the second book from 1985 because it didn't go away. Yeah. I was going to be interesting get that trip to the hotel and
yeah.
And like you said, facing your fears, you know, I think that's important.
I for me, usually I just run from these things. I have been to haunted locations.
You're assuming you can run, but you can't hide.
Right. I've been to haunted locations, but it's in the daytime. And, you know, I'm there to just take pictures for articles that I write for the Haunted Attic. And thankfully, you know, during the daytime, there's usually so much activity that I don't encounter anything. So I'm grateful for that. I'm always grateful for that. I'm just there to just take pictures, you know, take photographs. But I have had some encounters here and at this house and also at one other location. Actually two, where it was more like an evening setting. And here at this house, I've sat on the couch where, you know, I'm watching TV or working away on my laptop, and I'll see.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A dark shadow run from our guest bedroom into the bathroom. You know, it'll just go by, you know, so quickly. And usually, like, I try not to acknowledge things so that, you know, if they're doing their thing around me, as long as they leave me alone, I really don't care. Yeah, I've seen things like that. I've had pictures. This one is the one that bothers me. I don't like this one. I have pictures set up in my living room, and I've had pictures turned around, you know, and that takes an awful lot of energy to do that. And there's one particular picture of my husband and I when we first met and we went to a hockey game. And every now and then, I mean, that picture will be turned around. I know my husband's not playing games with me. And nobody else comes in the house except for our cleaning lady. And she would never do that because I'll turn it back around. And, you know, I watch it as I walk by. I'll see it like turning just slightly and I leave it alone. I don't do anything. And wait maybe a few days or whatever later, and it'll be turned all the way around. So I don't like that at all. Another thing that happened in this house was a friend of ours had to have surgery. We were just alerted that he was going to have surgery. And later on, I was sitting on the couch. I was folding laundry, and I seen somebody walk right up and stand right next, not almost next to me, but, you know, next to the couch. And he was dressed like, you know, wearing a white t-shirt. And, you know, I only seen him from the corner of my eye. And I turned, as soon as I turned, I mean, it was almost like he just like faded, didn't like just vanish like quick, like a snap of the finger. He just kind of faded. And I, you know, I'm like, but it still happens fast enough. And I, anyway, I was certain it was my husband. I thought, no, no, what is going on? You know, then my husband walks in almost immediately afterwards. And of course, I realized my husband's not wearing a white t-shirt. He's, you know, wait a minute. And I didn't say anything to him. I didn't say anything. It was probably about an hour or two later, we got a phone call that our friend died on the operating table. And I knew exactly who it was because where he stood was right next to the couch and also a chair that he sat in the last time he had visited us. And to me, that was him saying goodbye. That was a beautiful encounter, probably only beautiful encounter I've ever had. But that was a beautiful encounter. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew what I saw. I this is daytime, my head is somewhat, you know, the laundry's on my left side. So my head's somewhat turned this way, you know, towards the laundry. And he's at that same, basically in that same field of view, field of sight there. And then, you know, as I go to acknowledge by looking at him, he just kind of faded. But it wasn't, as I said, it wasn't a snap fade, but it faded nonetheless. Like I said, that was a beautiful encounter. Others have not been so nice. There was this, my husband and I went to this comedy club. I posted some of the pictures online, but I didn't mention what happened there. We were at this comedy club in Oklahoma City. So I went down this dark, it's kind of a dark hallway. I mean, the whole theater there was kind of dark because, you know, the comedian was doing his thing and, you know, they don't have the lights brightly lit. Well, I went into the bathroom. I had gone into the bathroom when I got there. It didn't bother me one bit. But I walked into the started to walk into the bathroom. I opened the door. And I mean, I stopped like I hit. It was almost like I hit a wall. I immediately stopped and I looked straight ahead. I didn't see anything. But I'm telling you, Al, I got so scared. This is no kidding. I let go of that door and ran back down the hallway, got back to our table, you know, because we were up front near the stage. And my husband goes, well, why are you back so fast? How'd you get back so fast? Or why are you back so fast? Something like that. And I said, I'll tell you later. And, you know, and I told him, you know, after the show was over, I went ahead and went to the bathroom again. Didn't bother me one bit. But in that instant, I knew, turn around, take off. Another place, there's a restaurant. It's a building in Oklahoma City. It's called Kingsman, I think. They have all sorts of, there's people that live in the top of the top floor of the building. They have a couple restaurants and an attorney's office. There's a story behind all of this, and I will be sharing it, you know, in one of my articles. But so we sat there, my husband and I went inside and we sat there and started talking to the bartender. And she was telling us about, you know, some of the occurrences there. It's an old building, like most every building in Oklahoma. But I did most definitely had a creepy feeling in that bathroom. So I just rushed, you know, to wash my hands and leave. Well, my husband was sitting at the bar talking to the bartender. And then when I sat down, we started asking her about some of the history. And she confirmed that the place was haunted. She said that what happened there was somebody had, this is way back when, during the Western times in 1800s, and I do have the information, I found it all, had tried to, at the time it was a bank, and he had tried to rob the bank. But what he did was I don't know how he got in there. Honestly, I don't know how he got in there, but he held up inside the vault. I don't know if the vault door was open or he got in some other way, broke through a wall or something. But he thought that if he started a fire, he didn't realize that there were brick walls around. I honestly don't know how this all turned out. how this happened, but I just have, you know, bits and pieces of it. Apparently he thought that if he could light a fire in within the vault, he could get out, you know, burn it down and he'd get out. He'd be able to escape. Well, he didn't know that the walls of the vault were made of brick. So he died inside that vault. And I took pictures of the vault. I have all kinds of backup pictures. She told me that she can hear walking up above them where the attorney's office is, and it sounds like heavy boot heels with spurs. She also said that the bathroom itself is definitely haunted. She's had experiences in there herself. She also said that bottles will fall for absolutely no reason, and it's not, you know, they're not tilting, they're not at the edge of the bar, you know, on the shelves or anything. They just fall for nothing, for no reason at all. One of the other employees had a really strange occurrence there as well. He and another guy were cleaning up when it was getting time to close up the restaurant. And they saw a really big, dark shadow figure standing in the corner, and it scared them so bad, they just dropped everything and ran out. Didn't even bother cleaning up or anything. But yeah, I mean, we have a lot of places like this in and around Oklahoma. Not just Oklahoma City, but everywhere. Yeah, like I said, I'm going to be writing a story about it. I just haven't got around to that one yet.
The Haunted Attic, can they go there to see these stories? And
Yes. It's at thehauntedattic.uk. Basically, all my stories are there that I've written so far anyway. Yeah.
I mean, how many do you think you have on there?
As far as personal stories, I think I have, I think there's three of my personal stories on there, I want to say. The rest are articles about different locations in Oklahoma. And then I have an article there as well about a hotel in California. We didn't stay there. It's the Hotel Del Coronado. But I got creepy feelings at that hotel in a couple spots of that hotel. And there's a story behind it. And I actually wrote about my own feelings. It's on that, also on that article. It's on the Haunted Attic. I could send that to you, by the way, Al, so if you want to ever run to read it.
Yeah, I'm going to have you back on in the fall, you know, and
yeah,
catch up on this hotel you're going to.
Yeah.
And see what happened there.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous, but then at the same time, I'm excited. And I thought, I mean, there are NBA stars that have stayed at this hotel.
Do you want to give the name of the hotel or?
Yeah, I kind of want to keep it a little secret. Yeah, because I haven't even exposed, you know, any of it to anybody else. You're the first person. So I kind of want to keep it a little secret because it's going to be a little intense for me. I, you know, as I said, I'm trying to conquer my fears, but at the same time, I feel like a little trepidation, but for whatever reason, and I've never done this, I feel like buying ghost hunting equipment.
Well, you only need a few things, you know, like a spirit box or.
Yeah. REM pods, I think.
REM pods, you know, called. Yeah. I still go back with the old fashioned equipment, you know, like the anything with like an infrared camera.
Yeah.
And I have an old video camera that has infrared on it, you know, and that to me will pick up, even if it don't pick up the video, picks up the audio. I'll set a wireless mic somewhere, like in a wireless mic over there in the corner. If you want to say anything to the little microphone in the corner.
Very interesting.
It's basically everything that works off electricity. I mean, everything.
Right.
Got to be some type of power there. I mean, for them to work off of. That's why a lot of paranormal investigators, they go with their cameras and their equipment and they find out their batteries are sucked out like real quick. You know, because they need that energy, you know.
Yes. Yeah. From what I understand, there's an awful lot of energy here at this place. But, you know, when we went there yesterday, I didn't feel anything at all. Of course, again, it's daytime and there's a lot going on. You've got, you know, housekeeping and you've got the front desk, you know, attended and people walking in and out. But the place is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. And I feel like because it's such a big deal for me to do this, I've never done anything like this, never on purpose ever in my life. It's such a big deal for me that I want to document as best as I can. And if my energy is that my usual energy, then I'm kind of expect to get something.
I'm going to bank on it that you are. Yeah.
I'm so scared too at the same time. I'm like, oh God, I just don't want it to wake me up. I know I won't sleep. I know.
I'm of the old feeling, you know, that to me, your body is the biggest tool.
Yeah.
Everything else is secondary.
Yeah. But
everybody's different. Every team is different. You know, you have people spin around for a long time, know what they're doing. And there's other people that go in there joking around and provoking the spirits. And that's not a good thing.
Do that.
And that's not a good thing, you know.
No, I'm not even going to talk to them. I'm just going to let them do their own thing. And especially, you know, leave cameras or something set up in this or a spirit box. This is just my plan and my aspirations, because my husband is totally on board with it too. It's so cute. But I figure, you know, I'll just leave it to its own devices while we go about the city and do whatever we want. I mean, maybe pick up something in the room, you know, or... No, especially if it's in, I guess, especially if it's in the evening, you know, my usual 2 or 3 o'clock, you know, a.m. type thing. And, you know, I can just sit in the room and do some work and just leave the monitor things going, you know, I guess. But yeah, I wanted to document it because it's, for me, it's, you know, I already know that regardless of what anybody thinks, I know that my encounters are real, but I'd love to have some documentation, you know, to show others, especially, you know, in the paranormal world, because I appreciate it when I see it online, you know, other people that share what they have. And you know, I just guess, you know, it's just my thought that others will appreciate it too, if I do in fact buy this equipment. But yeah, because I've never done it, and I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to talk to them. I don't want to have any interaction. I'm not asking questions. You know, maybe sometime down the road, I might do something like that. But right now, I don't really want an invitation. You know, I don't want to give them an invitation to follow me home or anything. You know, that's the one thing I might say to them when we leave is, please don't follow me home. You can stay here.
So I have a cross right over here on the wall. I have one up back.
Yeah.
So I know that hopefully that.
Yeah.
I've had friends of mine who have carried them home. Wish you the best of luck on that hotel. And,
thank you. I'll keep you posted.
Oh, yeah. Maybe your husband might be the one that gets contacted. Yeah.
It's a little nerve wracking, but thrilling and exciting at the same time.
I think once you dip your toes into it, you're going to say, I got to do this again. You know, because once you hear it on the spirit box or you hear something.
It's inexplainable. Yeah.
It's almost like I got to go back. You know, I personally like the places that aren't on the radar. You know, I'm not your Lizzie Borden houses. I mean, I like places going like say your house by the cemetery or someplace uh-huh. off the beaten path. You know, people don't know about, you know, I like right. those ones, you know.
Right. I probably wouldn't do my house. I don't think I would ever sleep again if I heard something in my head. I mean, I've seen things in my house, in all my houses, but I'd never sleep again for sure if I heard something too. Or, you know, there's no way.
Well, you know, it's been my pleasure having you back on the show. And
thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I'm sure we're going to talk again and catch up on your adventures between now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much, Al. Had a great time. Take care.
Thank you, Tony Shapiro. It was my pleasure having you on the show. Tony will be back later on in the year. And please go to my website, www.authoralcooley.com, and you can check out all my episodes under the podcast tab. You can pick up my book under the books tab. And I will see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.